The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. And this time, looking ahead to the action coming up on Monday. And on Monday, your race meetings will be Savile Kempton and Plumpton. Alex Dunn, Ollie Pimlott and John Budden will be guiding you through the action on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:50. But for now, to look ahead to a couple of the races and also look back on the weekend, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Andy Holding. Andy, how are you?
Hi, John. Yes, all well.
In our climate-controlled room we were discussing just now.
Yeah, I've just stepped out of the freezing conditions courtesy of the air conditioning in the main studio, Horse Racing Radio studio, and I've now feel as though I've come into a tropical zone in the in-play studio. So, yes, my body clock is going all over the place.
It's me and Mark Walton's different environments. You see, he's from the north, I'm from the south.
Well, that's what it is, north-south divide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression.
Right, so now the talk of climates is well and truly behind us. Let's move ahead to look at Monday's action, Andy. Your Napa next best, if you would. Let's build it up. Let's start with your next best.
Okay, next best is Step Over in the 3 o'clock at Southall. Cutting straight to the chase. A horse that absolutely loves it here at the Midland venue. Got a terrific record down the years. And certainly got better each time this horse has shipped up to the track. Managed to win here a couple of starts ago in the middle of summer. Went staying on very strongly in a well-run handicap to win, not with a ton in hand, but certainly with enough to suggest that certainly could be competitive in similar kind of races. And she did exactly that next time. Went off the back of a four-month layoff. She came back and just got beat by a very well-handicapped horse of Ollie Murphy's called Undefined Beauty. The pair of them were well clear of a largely unexposed bunch of horses in behind. And the fact that Undefined Beauty has gone on to back up the form next time out at Sedgefield, winning very easily last week over 2.5 miles, suggests to me that that form is pretty concrete. And there doesn't appear to be, anyway, at first glance, anything as well handicapped as Undefined Beauty in tomorrow's race. Hidden Oasis could be a sneaky one from the John Joannell stable, of course, having the 3 statutory runs for a handicap mark. But up to now, John Joe's horse just hasn't really hurdled with any degree of fluency, or certainly not enough to make me want to back it at a relatively short price. So providing Step Over is a juicy enough price in the morning, then that's where my money will be going in the 3 o'clock at Southall.
Step Over for Andy then in that 3 o'clock at Southall for Trevor Whelan and Alex Hales. That's your next best. What about your nap of the day?
Yeah, that comes at Kempton on the all weather. I've been keeping close tabs on the middle distance final, the London middle distance final, and all the series that have built up to that, and quite a majority of them, if not all of the winners of their respective divisions, have actually made it to the final, making it a mouth-watering affair. The standout performer is the top weight here, Ply, who was a late withdrawal from the horses in training sale last week at Newmarket, presumably because Connections wanted to come here and have a tilt at a decent pot. And he certainly seems to be a horse going forward in a rush. His time figures around this venue have been excellent. Since he's been gelded, he finished third on the July course, and he come here to Kempton over a mile or two, and he beat a stellar field in a very, very fast time. And then they upped him in trip, and he was even more impressive the next day, staying on very powerfully in the latter stages to beat Desert Ruler, who reopposes. It's hard to see him turning the form around. But they were strung out like Monday Morning Washington behind. And I think it'll be a decent horse to beat him. There are obviously one or two exposed ones, like Seniority and Just In Time in the lineup, to make it a pretty mouth-watering affair. But I presume Ply will be favourite. He'll be around about the 2-1 mark, but I think he'll take a bit of beating.
And will Bjork in the saddle, having come from his exploits across the Atlantic from the Breeders' Cup on the weekend. He gets to ride at Kempton on Monday in the
London
Middle
Distance. Isn't he a lucky boy?
I know. He's going from one big thing to the next, isn't he?
Well, it's arguably very significant, then that is the point. That is the case, you know. He's thinking, oh God, you know, have a couple of days in America and just chill out while he's been over there. But now he's obviously been it's all by his agent or the connections apply that we want you to ride. And I think I think the fact that he is going to come over and do just that is a significant point to Ply's chances.
So that's the nap then?
That is the nap of the day.
Fantastic. Ply then in Kempton's 320, that in the middle distance series final. And not a bad old card at Kempton tomorrow. You can hear all of that and the other two meetings, of course, on Racing Radio. But now from Monday, Andy, let's look back over some of the weekend's action. And specifically, I want to look back to Saturday. Are you a man who gets excited about the return of the jumps?
So much so that I was actually at Weatherby yesterday.
Oh, even better.
Yes, I was killing two birds with one stone.
Mm.
I knew I was at William Hill Towers here today, so I thought I'll come and spend a day up in Leeds and go to the races. And I went to Weatherby yesterday, went to Cheltenham last weekend for the two-day meeting, got the appetite well and truly whetted.
All over the place.
And I do like my winter sport. And I didn't come away from Weatherby disappointed yesterday because we saw some fantastic stuff. From Kalashnikov winning a very good novices hurdle to Born Survivor being very good in a novices chase. Then on to the big stuff, Labago Roy making her seasonal reappearance and winning one, and Colin Sister then taking the West Yorkshire hurdle in spectacular fashion. But the icing on the cake, the perceived resistance, was very much the Charlie Hall chase, which looked a stellar field beforehand with the likes of Coney Gree and Kew Card in that contest, making it an intriguing affair up against the young pretenders such as Black Lion and Bristol Domain. It was those two from the Twist and Davies camp which came out on top in a rousing finish. And Bristol Domain finally got a chance to back up the view that a lot of us have thought, that on his day, given a left-handed track on soft ground, over 3 miles, that he's a very, very formidable force in that division.
It's a bit unfortunate in the way that the two most renowned horses, you'd probably say, in the field, in Kew Card and Coney Gree, one that has won a Cheltenham Gold Cup in the past, and the other that, we could have this debate for a very long time, but one that arguably should have won a Cheltenham Gold Cup, if not coming to grief for three from home. Well, in this case, was a faller again in the race, and Coney Gree being pulled up. Various reasons being put forward for that by connections regarding the low sun. Do you think that might have been an excuse-making sour grapes, or do you think they might have a point? You were there. I mean, what was the sun like?
Yeah, it was quite bright, but I mean, it didn't stop all the others jumping the fence, did it? I mean, it was the same for everyone. So yeah, whether Kew Card's just that kind of horse, he only needs something nowadays just to make him take his eye off the ball.
He never used to be a prolific faller, did he?
And he did, no. And, the fact that he's fallen twice in two Gold Cups when the heat's on, he fell when the heat was on yesterday in the Charlie Hall. They've said that this low sun was to blame, but the stats are that, in three of his last six or seven runs, he's hit the deck.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't strike to me a horse that's always looking at the sun.
Yeah.
He's probably just not concentrating on what he's doing. And, he's getting a bit long in the fang nowadays, and perhaps the effort of jumping the fences is just becoming more and more difficult. Coney Gree's performance is a little bit more difficult to explain because he was obviously a beaten horse a long, long way out. The jury's very much out with him anyway, being a 10-year-old who has only had two runs in the last couple of years. And, he's had obviously one or two suspensory and tendon problems, and it's always very difficult to patch those horses up and get them to perform at the very top level year in, year out. And I think we've probably seen the best of Coney Gree, unfortunately.
Some people saying that after yesterday's performances from the pair, they'd just be best off calling it a day and sending them off to retirement. Would you agree with that, Rui?
Yeah, there is that. I'm very much of that school of thought. I don't like to see, these old warriors go out on a sour note. You want them to go out at the very top, It was an edifying spectacle when Quarto Star was pulled up at Cheltenham, and we didn't really get that sort of spine-tingling moment when he went out on the top. They should have retired him, really, in hindsight, when he won the Betfair again. All great sportsmen, that's the moment when they go out, they bow out at the top, when we still remember them for their greatness. McCoy did it really well when he decided to hang up his boots, and some really good sportsmen have done exactly the same in the cricket and football field. It would be nice if Connections probably just got to the point where with Kew Card, where they did win a race and then thought, enough's enough, we'll bow out on a high. And I think they'll probably look to do that some stage during the season.
Do want to mention the horses that actually finished the race in a minute, but just quickly on Kew Card. There was some talk before today, during the summer, of maybe rather than a Gold Cup campaign, of course, he's fallen in the race twice in 2 years, that he might be directed to the Ryanair this year round. We know he can operate over shorter, but I just thought the way he travelled yesterday didn't look like a horse who'd be competitive at that distance.
Well, he went past me in front of the stands, and I said to the field of gods, I said, he's just not travelling today.
Yeah,
you know, he squeezed along. He was off the bridle, and he just didn't look as though he was absolutely really loving what he was doing, which is unlike him. You know, he always racing with lots of zest and verve. And like I say, there is a time in every horse's career where the sands of time does catch up, and you know, he's going to be 12 next year, and he's been on the go since he was a three-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, he's running the champion bumper when he was four. So he's been performing at a very high level for the thick end of 8 years. He probably won't have the credit that he deserves when you look back and, you know, you state the likes of Corto Star and Denman. They obviously were a bit headline makers, perhaps because he's never won the Gold Cup. That'll always be you know, a problem he could never overcome. But he's still obviously he can perform at a very high level, but you know, the Ryanair for me, there's going to be horses like York Hill in that this year, and you know, proper genuine speedsters that are 3 or 4 years younger that have got more to offer.
It's developed into a genuine championship race now, hasn't it? If you look at the winners over the past,
it's a grade one
years,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of connections, you know, that they target that. They tend to avoid the champion chase. You know, they don't want to take on Duvan and Altior. You've got no chance. So they immediately step them up. So, you know, you sort of like your God Zones of this world, and Cloudy Greys and all that kind of... they're looking to sort of like move into that 2.5 mile category, which will make life very difficult for Kewgard.
Well, let's have a quick talk about the horses that actually managed to finish the race. You know, Bristol Dumais winning it fairly impressively in the end from Black Line in second place. Definitely Red, the gambler of the race in many ways throughout the week, back in third. Do you think these are horses that are going to be able to compete in the very top staying group ones going forward, or grade ones, I should say? Or do you think we're looking more at a national campaign potentially?
Yeah, I think in two we are. I think Black Lion will obviously have the Grand National very much in his viewfinder towards the back end of the season. You know, he faded going well last year when he probably hit the front too soon in the hands of Noel Fahil. I think if Noel had his chance to ride the race again, he would have delayed his tactics a little bit longer. But it was a perfectly satisfactory start. He'll now go to the Beecher Chase to have another side to over the fences. You know, he probably won't be involved in the sort of better graded races in between times. I'll probably look to make maybe giving one more race before the National, perhaps in one of that National trial in February at Haydock, and then that'll be it. Definitely Red will very much have the National in his sights. And Bristol Dumais, you know, we talked about him as a Gold Cup contender last year, and albeit he disappointed, he only disappointed because the ground was too quick for him.
Yeah,
I'm still not convinced that he's a total write-off when it comes to Cheltenham, because if we did get a soft ground Cheltenham, he'd have to be a factor, because on soft ground, as we saw yesterday, as he did in the Charlie, in the Peter Marsh last year, he's as good as any. You know, he can clock some fantastic time figures, Bristol Dumais, when everything's right for him. I think if the Gold Cup was to be run at Haydock, he'd be a very serious player.
Yeah.
I do think the Betfair Chase is right up his street.
You were talking about, you know, him being a horse that needs soft ground. He showed that to great effect yesterday. Talking about big races that are likely to be run on soft ground, there is the King George, or do you think he needs to go left-handed?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he has gone right-handed before, but he does give a ground away, and unfortunately he won't be able to dominate in that race or be as prominent as he would like to be, because one would imagine that Mike Bice will have something to say about that, who looks the archetypal King George horse. You know, he would have won the Rendlesham last year, but not for Feltham, not falling at the last when he was well clear. Thistle Crackle obviously being there as well, so it's not a race that I do think would be on his agenda. I think they'll probably look to run him at Haydock, see how he gets on there, and then maybe give him a spin in the Grade 2 at Cheltenham before the festival. The Cotswold Chase, I think it's called nowadays.
The trial they have in the January, the Cotswold Chase.
Yeah, the one that Thistle Crackle and the ill-fated Many Clouds fought out a fantastic finish in last season.
Yeah.
That would be the campaign I'd see them having before they think Gold Cup or whatever from that point on.
It'll be interesting to see how it pans out with Bristol Dumais and the rest of the horses from the Charlie Hall, which run, of course, again on Saturday for the 2017 renewal. Andy, anything else to take away from the card, whether it be on Saturday or any of the other meetings with a view to the National Hunt season going forward?
Yeah, I do think La Baga Roy was pretty impressive because the ground would have been a little bit soft for her. I had a chat with Warren afterwards and he was a bit concerned going into the race that it might just catch her out. And the fact that she's managed to find plenty for pressure and outstay a horse who'd already had a run under its belt as well in the shape of Lady Buttons, who's very much a soft ground horse, definitely stands her in good stead. And over at Down Royal, I must admit I was really impressed with Disco. It was a really likeable type. He's a flashy grey, goes off in front, he jumps well, he stays well, and I do think the Ryanair is a race that Noel Mead will look to target for him. He's just a very, very talented horse, and him and Bally Oisin were well clear of quite a good field as well. I think it was running at a true gallop throughout. There was no hiding place, you know, the likes of a Toy Phil and Annabelle Fly and several others, Baldarkin behind, were all toiling. So I think it was a great start for the season for Disco.
Speaking of Down Royal on Saturday, we should give a mention to the JM Wine Champion Chase as well, that Grade 1 contest where our Duke disappointed.
Yeah.
Scope Dirty afterwards, which might go some way to explaining it, but do you think there's a chance this horse has been slightly overhyped?
Yeah, possibly. I might have full foul of that, to be fair. I mean, I thought our Duke was a genuine Gold Cup horse after his Irish National win. Indeed, not just his Irish National win, but you know, his performances against the likes of Disco in good novice chases last season. He's not short of speed. So yeah, the fact that he was off the bridle very early on, the alarm bells are ringing. I was thinking to myself, why is this horse not travelling? He's got good 2.5 mile speed, as he showed in many races last year. He stays well, and yet he just couldn't lie up with him. It just wasn't our Duke. He's not like that. He travels with verve. He's looking for the next fence. And just everything about his run on Saturday stunk of something that was not quite right. And at least, luckily for Connections, they have found something wrong with him to be a plausible excuse. But regards, you know, Cheltenham Festivals and Gold Cups, yeah, you'd have to have a little bit of a watching brief for him next time just to allow him at least to come back to something like his best.
I think my concern with our Duke is, okay, he could go and be a huge force in those long-distance staying handicaps, nationals and the like. But if you look at the Irish National, he's beaten Bless the Wings by 14 lengths incredibly impressively. But is it not possibly just lacks the touch of class necessary in a contemporary Gold Cup?
Yeah, you could argue that, yeah. I must admit, having seen him run yesterday, just looking at the way he travelled, then you'd say, well, if you take that run at face value, then he's an absolute million for a Gold Cup, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he just looks slow. But you're hoping that the slowness was down to some kind of issue internally, and it wasn't. You know, he wasn't running slow because his legs just couldn't go any quicker.
Yeah, often the issue with racehorses.
They were prevented to run that quick because he had obviously some kind of problem. So, like I say, he doesn't become a bad horse overnight.
Yeah,
that's the only hope you're clinging onto if you're an R Duke fan like I am.
Well, it's a long road to the Cheltenham Gold Cup yet, but you can catch every race on the way to it and the rest of the Cheltenham Festival and the rest of the National Hunt season on William Hill's Racing Radio, of course, and here on the Daily Racing Podcast. That's all we've got time for today, but Andy, thanks for joining me.
No problem at all. Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.